This is an interview with Carolyn Lloyd, who lives in the Cane Creek community. Miss Lloyd, you're 49, right?
Yes.
And how long have you been married?
31 years.
31 years?
Yes.
Your husband is from the Cane Creek community?
Not directly. He was from the community on the other side of 54, which is downstream from where the dam will be placed. So the area that his family lived in is not considered directly in the Cane Creek community
mm-hmm.
area.
Well, how long have you lived where you're living now?
25 years.
25 years? Does your husband, has your husband ever done any kind of farming?
Yes, when we married, he was in dairy farming with his father and his brothers.
Uh-huh.
He farmed for two or three, 4 years, something like that, and then he got out of the farming business and went to work here in Chapel Hill a while, and then had some various other jobs. He worked for Coca-Cola in Greensboro, Sears in Greensboro, and then when the Sears store here opened up, he transferred to this store and worked there for several more years, and then is now currently working at the hospital as an air conditioning technician.
Because he's worked in the city so much, do you feel more part of the Chapel Hill area than you do the Cane Creek area?
No, we do have a farm, and we do raise beef cattle, and we do rent part of the open land to his brothers who raise crops on it.
So you're still really in the community and doing
yes.
what the community is doing?
Yes.
What do you do?
Okay, I am keeping books for our business, which is here in Chapel Hill. We opened a tire business here about a year and a half ago, and I do all the book work for that. I'm also a graduate student in speech communication, and I'm a teaching assistant.
It's really interesting that you're so much a part of both the communities. We've talked about it before. The churches define the community. Could you explain that more, how the boundaries are with that?
Okay. Cane Creek community is basically made up of people who attend the various churches. One of the churches is the Cane Creek Church, which is in the Orange Grove community. Another of the churches is Oak Grove, and the third church is Bethlehem. And these people from these three churches make up a good portion of the people who form the Cane Creek Conservation Authority.
Are some of the people that have moved into the area in the past, well, actually before the dam situation began, but they're not old members of the community.
Right.
Are they integrated into the church?
Some of them have and some of them haven't.
Do you see yourself, your husband was over in this area for a long time, and then you moved into the Cane Creek area.
Yes.
Right. Where did you live before then?
Okay, I lived in Chatham County, towards Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. So did you see yourself, when you came in, did you feel accepted by the older members of the community? Because I know that some people have been there for generations and generations and have farmed there.
Well, because my husband and I were not a part of the church community, one of those three church communities. The church that we attended is outside that area. I did not get to know a lot of the people mm-hmm. until the Conservation Authority was organized. Since I have gotten to know them, I feel very accepted by them and felt accepted by the ones that I knew.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't seem to be a real discrepancy between, do you see it as a real discrepancy between the new people and the older people?
What do you mean by discrepancy?
Do you think the older people think the new people are a threat to some of their tradition? I mean, some of the quite a rural ways. I mean, a lot of people I know have moved in with trailers and they're not involved in the farming community at all.
Right. I don't think they see individuals as a threat. I think the growth of Chapel Hill, which is moving a lot of people it's gradually moving the boundaries further and further out towards us, is seen as somewhat of a threat, and particularly has been brought to our attention because of the building of the reservoir.
Well, are you directly affected by the building of the reservoir, any of your land at all?
So far as we know, it will only, it's not directly affected in that they will take part of our land. It is, it will be directly affected because there is a stream that runs through our land that will go into the reservoir, and so restrictions may be placed on what we can do with the land.
What kind of restrictions?
Well, we do raise some beef cattle, and there are some crops raised on land, on our land. Restrictions may be placed on what kind of chemicals can be put on the land, and what kind of, we may have to make some other arrangements for watering our livestock. We have been told at one of the meetings that we attended that we would have, that they, the cows would not be allowed to drink from those streams.
At all?
That's what was indicated at one meeting. I'm not sure if that's correct or not.
Have you thought about what you'd do as an alternative if the cows couldn't?
Not really, no.
That sounds like a real threat, though.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. You're directly involved in, you were part of the authority.
Yes, still am.
Still, yeah.
It's still going on. It's still somewhat active, yes.
What are you doing at present?
What is the authority doing?
Right.
Okay. At the present time, we still have the appeal of the decision by the Environmental Management Commission. They gave Owosso the right to condemn land, and we are appealing that decision. That is in place and will remain in place until Owosso fairly deals with all landowners.
You mean all the owners that have already, what about the owners that have already sold out?
What do you mean, what about?
Well, I know that, like, Cecil Crawford has sold his land, but he sold it because he felt like in the long run the land would be condemned and he was getting the best price for it. Now, if you could appeal their decision to declare the land, you know.
Okay, what the Environmental Management Commission has done is give Owosso the right to condemn land, which means that if that decision holds, Owosso can take any land that is not freely sold to them. They have been able to, through questionable means, negotiate with all the landowners, with the exception, I think, of two or three at this point.
Well, I know that the tiers are holding out.
The tiers are not holding out. Owosso will not deal with the tiers.
Oh, really? Well, we were very much on the impression that there was a large area of the tiers land,
yes,
that had not, that was directly in the middle of it, of what they wanted to do.
That's true.
Why won't Owosso deal with the tiers?
We don't know.
So has the authority looked into that? You must be concerned since it is such a large area of land. You know, with what it seems that's pretty, their decision is pretty detrimental, the tiers' decision. But if they're not being dealt with.
Owosso claims that they have tried to deal with it. And the tiers say that they have not been offered a figure.
At all.
Not a concrete, you know, we will give you this amount.
That's very interesting. Do you think the authority has a lot more they can do at this point? Because, I mean, so many decisions have been made. Unless you get that appeal, you know, you've appealed it.
Mm-hmm.
If that decision, you know, is favorable toward Cane Creek, then what will happen if the court's decision?
I'm not real sure. I'm in the process at the time in trying to contact the lawyer and find out just exactly where the case stands.
Mm-hmm.
If we lose at this level, I think we can still appeal it to a higher level. But I'm not sure right now exactly which level we're at. Because the case is going slowly, and I haven't been in contact with the lawyer recently.
On a more domestic kind of level, do you think the authority has brought the people of the community together?
Yes, definitely.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
In what way?
I think that a lot of the, well, anytime you have a problem that needs solving, and a lot of people interested in solving that problem, you generally get a more cohesive group formed.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, that there were more or less three or four loosely associated groups, and this has brought them together to fight a common foe. It has also given those of us who were not well integrated into the community a chance to get to know the people, the old-timers as you call them, of the community
mm-hmm.
much better. It has also given those old-timers a chance to meet a lot of the newer people in the community. And it's been very interesting to me to see the integration of the newer people and the old-timer people, plus there were various people in the group that perhaps would not have been as well accepted by a lot of the old-timers under other circumstances. And I'm not going to elaborate on that, but it has been a very interesting combination of people and an interesting experience in a variety of people working together
so
for
you,
a common cause.
You see it as benefiting the community no matter what really
yes, definitely.
Comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the authority, do the older people and the newer people socialize any? Did they ever before the authority? Do they now?
I really don't know. I think that there probably is some more contact. There have been one particular issue that has brought people together, and that was the airport issue. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but anyway, they wanted to build an airport out in our area. And so a lot of people, you know, grouped around that. And I think that it has given us a resource, or that's not a good word, but because we know each other better, I think it will be easier to pull together a group to fight other intrusions into the community. And I think, though they may not socialize in the manner that I think of socialization, they certainly probably have a more cohesive feeling in the community, as a community.
Well, probably just getting to know one another like that. Are the newer people, do they work in the community, or do they usually work out of Chapel Hill Carver area?
A lot of them work in the Chapel Hill Carver area,
mm-hmm.
or Triangle area.
So there aren't that many people that move into it and see it as a farming?
No.
Why do they move into the community? Do you have any idea?
The impression I have gotten is that a lot of them have moved in the community because they wanted to live in a rural setting. They wanted to get out of the town or city setting and have a little more privacy, quietness, and this kind of thing.
Do you think that's the reason that the authority was important to them?
Yes,
to preserve that.
Yes, definitely.
Right, instead of, the older people saw it more as a attack on their livelihood, though, do you think?
It was, definitely.
Do you think a lot of the farmers will be put out, it'll affect their livelihood? I mean, I know that some of the land has been taken, but do you think it'll be very, very detrimental to individual farmers?
One farmer has been put out of business. Another farmer stands a good chance. In fact, he's been told by State College that he cannot remain in business being so close to the reservoir. One of our great concerns is, and was, is that a lot of the farmers in the surrounding areas whose land, the waterways, the streams and creeks go through their land, their cows use the creeks and streams to water from. They have croplands that line those creeks and streams. A lot of them were not too concerned by the reservoir. And we're afraid, those of us that fought so hard, that somewhere in the future, that the restrictions that will be placed on this land will be very detrimental to them. Now, we can't say for sure, but just seeing the way that environmental issues are going and the way restrictions on pollutants are going, it just seems to me that in the future, the restrictions that would be placed on any land where the water goes into a reservoir might very well put the farmers out of business.
So that would affect them, whether it directly affected their land or any restrictions.
Right.
Were there a lot of people that weren't concerned about it, or some people that weren't concerned at all about it because it didn't affect
their
land?
A lot of the farmers in the peripheral area did not and do not see it as a direct threat. And it's possible that it won't be. There's no way for me to really predict that. Some of them were very supportive of the group. Very few of them were real active in the group.
The people that make up the Cane Creek Authority, are they all older families or established families in the community?
No.
They're not? Are some of them newcomers?
Yes, definitely. Some of them are newcomers that are landowners in the area. We had a lot of support from people outside the area, from people in Chapel Hill, all over. Even people sometimes passing through would come to our events and be very supportive of our effort.
Do you see Chapel Hill? I know that you're very involved, in the Chapel Hill anyway, but does the whole community see Chapel Hill as kind of an enemy now?
Not Chapel Hill as the people of Chapel Hill. I think there are a lot of uninformed citizens in Chapel Hill. I've heard several people in Chapel Hill not realize what was going on and just simply concerned with the issue, with their personal issue of wanting water. I think if a lot of these people understood what this is doing to an area that I feel is very important to not only Chapel Hill, but the state and the country, because the farmers, as anybody can look at the national situation and see, they're in very, very difficult times. And we happen to have in our area quite a number of very productive farmers. When these are destroyed, then you have to get your products from further away, and there may come a time when that may create problems. I hate to say that we see Chapel Hill as an enemy. I guess we basically focus it on Owosso. Owosso has lied to the people of Chapel Hill. They have lied to us. They are determined to do what they want to do, regardless of whether it's the best thing for anybody. It may be the best, but the arguments they have used have not been the kind of arguments that we feel that they should have used. And we feel like many times that if they had been honest, not that we wouldn't have fought, but at least we wouldn't have felt the way we feel about them.
What were they exactly dishonest about?
They have finagled figures on sizes and costs, sizes of pipelines for various projects. A lot of these things I can't prove, but we have some fairly straight information that they have.
What effect would the size of the pipeline?
Because they have declared that Cane Creek would be the cheaper place to go. So if you finagle costs of various things, then you can make anything appear to be cheaper or more expensive, however you want to do it. If they use the cost of a large pipeline coming from the Jordan and a small one from Cane Creek, it makes unrealistic figures. They spent as much or more on the buying of one piece of land as they initially intended to spend on the whole project. They have spent as much or more on a temporary dam as they initially had the figures for spending on the whole project.
They've spent more on the temporary dam than the whole project?
Just on building the temporary dam. They have seemingly we feel like they've given out either some false information or not absolutely truthful information on why they needed to build the temporary dam.
Why do they need to build it?
I don't know. I wish you could find that out.
Well, the dam is on the other side of the tier.
They will say, from what I have heard, now I don't take the Chapel Hill paper, so I haven't read this a lot, but from what I understand, they have indicated that the reason they had to build the temporary dam was because they could not negotiate with the tiers. They have not tried to negotiate with the tiers. The tiers would have been delighted to have settled for what they spent on the temporary dam. So it makes no sense.
That's a major question then, why they haven't dealt with the tiers.
Yes.
Do you have any idea?
I know for a fact that the tiers offered to settle for a certain amount and Owosso turned them down.
The tiers offered Owosso?
Yes. They offered to settle and Owosso turned them down, and that figure is considerably less than what they spent on that temporary dam.
Do you have anyone that's talked with the people in Owosso? Has anyone asked Owosso why they built the temporary dam and didn't settle with the tiers?
I don't know if that's, you know, been an absolute question or not from anyone. You don't get very many straight answers from Owosso. Our lawyers have tried to deal with them in many instances, and they made a lot of promises to the tiers lawyers that then they backed down on.
I was under the impression that the tiers were merely holding out.
I know. That's what they're putting in the paper. And I know for a fact that the tiers offered to settle for X amount of money, and Owosso would not agree to it. And they're putting out all this propaganda to make it seem like it's the tiers' fault, and we don't understand what's going on.
And the tiers don't understand either.
No.
Are some of the members of the tier family in the Cane Creek Authority?
Yes. The tier family that is directly involved at this point are very active.
Very active?
Yes. Both the father and son. In fact, the son is the president, has been president previous to this. This is the second time he's been president of the organization.
How many years has the Cane Creek Authority been in existence?
They met, many members of the community met in, I believe it was November of 1976. And out of that came the formation of the Cane Creek Conservation Authority.
Were you a member then?
No, I was not a member until the spring of 1977.
What brought you into membership?
Just an interest in what they were doing. I didn't know about the initial meeting, And once I found out about it and began to be active in their first, I guess it was either their first Farm City Day or their first project, whatever that was.
Farm City Day has, they're not having that this year.
We had it this past year. I don't know if we'll have one in 86 or not, but we did have one in 85.
There was one in 85.
Yes.
I had heard that it was rumored that there might not be a Farm City Day, and you know, a lot of the reason was...
Okay, you may be thinking about the Crafts Fair. Now, in the spring we have what we call Farm City Day. In the fall we have what we call the Cane Creek Craft Fair.
What is the Cane Creek
Craft Fair? And there was a rumor that, excuse me, we didn't think initially that we were going to be able to have it because the two of us who had, for the last several years, organized it, were not going to be able to organize it.
So just really a matter of organization, not a matter of you didn't want to do...
No, just having to have enough people there to get it organized and pull it off. We have had someone from outside the community, one of the craftspeople, call and offered to help with an area of organization that we very definitely needed help, so we are going to have one.
That's good. A lot of funds have been raised. What have you been doing to raise funds for the authority?
Okay, the basic two events have been the Farm City Day and the Crafts Fair.
That's gone directly for the, yes. The CCI?
Yes, and we've also, for the last two or three years, barbecued pork shoulders at Christmas time to sell. We've had, one year we had an auction and antique auction. We've had yard sales. We've had bake sales. Just about anything you can think of to make money, we've tried it.
Are the both the new people and older people very involved in these
yes.
fundraisers?
Yes.
So it's really an entire community project.
Right.
It's not just Cane Creek Authority trying to raise money.
Right.
Has that been very successful?
Yes, very successful.
Right now it's probably not as much a matter of needing funds as it is just...
Yes, we do need a large amount of money because we still have to pay off legal bills.
And you still have legal bills. And
yes.
You continue to have them, right?
Yes.
Is that the only way you raise money? It's just through
yes.
those things? It's not... I mean, they have just strict donations, don't they? Some people
yes, we will take donations.
It's very interesting. Where do most of the new people live? Are they integrated where the old people live, or are they sectioned off?
They're pretty well integrated.
Really?
Yes.
Like in all the areas?
Yes.
Okay, earlier you explained the areas. You divided into churches, but you also... The roads down there, the Orange Grove.
Okay, there's Orange Grove Road, there's Dairyland Road, there's Tier Road, Stanford Road, Highway 54, Bradshaw Quarry Road, Nevin Oaks Road.
But do you see those as small communities, or do you always divide them up by the churches, or?
Basically, when you speak of community, you're speaking of the community that forms around the churches now. Communities in the country and communities in the city are different, generally. When you speak of a community in the country and you name it by the church, you may have some of the people that live relatively close to the church, but rather than a few blocks away, the others may live a few miles away. People mm-hmm. in the country travel miles to go to church and to attend, you know, if they feel a part of the community, to attend and take part in the community affairs.
You think the church is as important as it used to be in the area? I realize that you weren't really a part of that the church
right.
community in Cane Creek, but...
I don't think the church is as important in any of the rural communities as it used to be because many of the people in the area now go into town to work. They're not as dependent on each other as they used to be. I think the church communities are still very strong, but it's not they're not as isolated, and the people in them, within them, are not as isolated as they used to be.
Do you see that as good or bad, that they're not as dependent on one another?
I don't like to use a value judgment on that. I would rather say it's just different. I think it's a sign of the times. I think it's a sign of the changing world. And I don't want to say that it's good or bad. It's just different from what it used to be.
Do you think the older, the much older people in the community, older than you, see the community as changing negatively because those traditional values of depending on one another, family ties, are having loosened a lot? In other words, the traditions of the community, you think those traditions being broken down has affected the
I really don't know how they feel about it. I would hate to say. I think that they would probably see some changes as good and some as bad. I think some, you know.
You don't see a real problem between the older people and the newer people at all. They understand each other.
I haven't. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's a lot on an individual basis. You're going to have some of the older people that are less accepting of the newer people. You're going to have some of the newer people who don't want to integrate into the community. But I don't see it as an overall problem. I just think on an individual basis you may see some problems. But taking the community and the people as a whole, I don't see it as a problem.
So this change in Cane Creek, the reservoir, the bringing the people together, all in all, do you see it, even if you lose, you see it all in all, something that's happened positive for the community?
Well, I think part of what has happened has been positive. It has brought the community together to fight for something that is threatening the community. So it's brought it together on the one hand, but the division of the community due to people looking at it differently is a negative effect. The fact that Owosso is not willing to put one or two of the roads back in is going to divide the community that they have helped to pull together.
What do you mean put the roads back in?
Okay, two of the roads, the water will flood, and they do not intend to put those roads back in.
Is that something you're negotiating for? Do you want?
We've tried to, yes.
But
so far, we've not been able to get anywhere with that. They say they're not obligated to do it, and they do not intend to do it. They talked about the cost, but there again, they had plenty of money to put the temporary dam in. And from the figures that they gave us, the temporary dam cost them more than putting the road in.
What will happen to the people that lived on those roads?
They will just have to go way out of their way to get where they want to get.
How many people have actually been put out of their homes? You know, I mean, they have to move because the dam, the water's coming through.
So far as I know, only two people, perhaps three houses, will be taken out. One house I know of for sure, the people had to move because of the dam. The other house, Owosso bought, I don't really know why. It's close to the dam. They supposedly bought it for their caretaker. It's an awfully expensive house to buy and to keep up, to put a caretaker in. I don't really understand their thinking on that. I don't know what they're doing.
Money really doesn't seem to be a problem with the Owosso.
No, except when they want to use it. I mean, the cost of their lawyers and the extra legal expenses that they've had from carrying this case on rather than settling with Cane Creek and with the Tears and with whoever else has got to outweigh what they could have paid to settle and yet they don't. It just makes no sense.
Do you see Jordan Lake as a much better alternative? I mean, just facts and figure-wise, or just another alternative that you wish they had have chosen?
Well, I just didn't understand why they didn't use that alternative when it was cheaper, it was available. If there had, I mean, I've always felt that if it had been a choice between Cane Creek and the Jordan, then certainly to disrupt a few homes and a few people would have made much more sense than to disrupt all they did at Jordan. But that wasn't the choice. The choice was between disrupting more people when they already had disrupted people. So why not, you know, take that? See, they also had another alternative of going to University Lake and enlarging it. And we have been told that they've had offers to go in and dredge it out, clean it out, which would enlarge the capacity a great deal. They own a lot of the university, or whatever owns a lot of the land that would be taken. It would be, at least they would be disrupting, as we call it, their own, for their own purposes. But they didn't want to do that. They want to get their hands on everything they can get their hands on now.